following material was performed under extreme mental duress and lack of prescribed medication.
You know, there's a lot more to comedy than what you see on a stage.
I like the idea of comedy at night.
I looked in the contract and said there may be gunplay.
Band members there, the strippers half naked sitting on the thing, everyone there is smoking pot.
Rule number one, attack the audience verbally.
I'm not normal. She should have warned you.
I emptied my case. They didn't boo me or anything. It's just every time I came out from behind the case, another 10 people had left. And man, I was ready to hang myself. I'm not kidding, man. I measured the light cord in the room and everything.
From Wits End Comedy Club in Westminster, Colorado, it's The Green Room. A chance for you to meet the comedians coming into Wits End, and a place where we talk about all things comedy, both on and off the stage. Welcome, everybody. You have made it to another edition of The Green Room. I am Vilmos, your host, and glad that you found us yet once again. Always appreciate you listening, especially those of you that listen to us on iTunes. We think that's a great thing. Want to remind you that this is a non-censored show, and we actually use whatever languages we feel appropriate, even though some people that may listen may not think that. So if you got somebody that's a little uptight in the cubicle next to you, make sure you turn us down just a hair. Want to tell you this week, we're going to have a lot of fun. I don't know how to introduce him other than, ladies and gentlemen, a big tattletale, Dale Jones.
Hello. How
yes,
are you?
I'm fine.
We have to make this so they can censor it with pussy snot. All right. Now it's dirty.
Yes.
That's dirty, I guess.
That's a lie.
I've been
working with you all week. See, we are, for those of you that are listening, we are actually working together this week at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas.
Yes, we are.
And we've been together since Wednesday. It's now Sunday, and I can't wait to leave. No, Dale and I have been friends for a long time.
Now the truth comes out.
That's exactly right. Dale and I have been friends for many years, and that was no secret if you've listened to the other ones that we've been friends. And we managed to work together here, and it's our last day. We got one show left tonight.
Yes, we do.
So I don't want to make it sound like it's so formal, like, hey, I'm just seeing you an hour. I've just come to see you an hour ago. I haven't seen you at all in the last, 6 months or however long it was since you were on the last time.
That's very true. You've seen me every time I walk through to get...
Yeah, I know. We've had an interesting week, folks. I found out many more things about Dale Jones. I already knew a lot.
What did you find
out? I didn't know you were a big tattletale until I looked at the website.
That's because you put that on there.
Oh, I did?
Yes.
Oh.
The header.
You did?
Yes.
Oh. It's true, though, isn't it?
No.
I also found out that Dale Jones cannot win a staring contest.
I cannot win a staring contest.
Not with me.
Because you cheat.
I don't cheat.
Yes, you do.
Okay, we will take mail on this email that I will forward to Dale also. So I'll leave your email out if you do it. I have beat him twice in a staring contest, both impromptu.
We did.
Well, we just did another one here.
We did. I didn't even know we were doing a staring contest.
You lie. You had your eyes open.
No, I had no idea. Sorry, but I make eye contact when I'm having a conversation.
You were giving me the opening the eyes just a little bit wider, and I know you're not gay. You weren't trying to flirt with me.
I was trying to get my retinas to grow.
That you were trying to win a staring contest.
I do retina growth. I practice that to make them work bigger and take in more pictures.
You were trying to win a staring contest, and you lost again. And that's bothering him.
Because you stare me down like a Rottweiler. You're real mean. I always think you're going to attack my shin.
His excuse, ladies and gentlemen, is that I talk to him.
You can't talk during a staring contest.
You can
and
do
I
anything.
Think I learned that because when I did the staring contest with my sister, she always put duct tape on my mouth. So I just assumed that was a rule that I couldn't follow.
Have you ever thought she just didn't want to hear any more from you?
Probably.
Okay.
Or that mom wouldn't let her lock me in the closet anymore.
I'm just telling you, you're lucky they unbound your hands to allow you to have the staring contest. That's all I'm saying.
I know, and I appreciate that.
All right. Well, Dale's had a good week here. I expect him to have a good week when he comes up to the club. But you're going to be late, aren't you?
What?
You're not coming on Wednesday when you were supposed to.
On May 6th?
Yeah, May 6th. See, no, he was originally scheduled to work May 6th through whatever that is, the 9th, I think.
You want me to look?
No. I'm supposed to have this information.
You're supposed to know.
Shut up, Dale. I'll get it before you do.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
Bang! Got it. 9th. Nice. Who won that contest? I win the calendar contest, and I didn't blink.
Not once.
Not once.
I was here. You know, this is an audio medium. It's not a visual thing.
I know that I saw it audibly and visually.
Oh, God. You're out of your mind.
I am out of my mind. Okay. Yeah. I won't be there on the 6th because I'm going to Manhattan.
Yeah. That's pretty New cool. York. And you're going for a good reason, too.
I'm going. My manager got me an audition for Live at Gotham. At the Gotham Comedy Club in Manhattan.
Which is a big show.
Yes, it'll be on Comedy Central.
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah, but I got to get on it first. I mean, this is an audition.
Right, but on the other hand, Live at Gotham, as I've been told, and I think you're the one who actually told me, that's where they get the people for the Comedy Central Presents specials.
That's what I've been told. In fact, I was accepted for a Presents... Comedy Central Presents. They liked my stuff, but they wouldn't give it to me because I hadn't been on Live at Gotham.
Oh, is that right, really? I didn't know that.
That's the story. Because I asked him flat out. I go, they like my material and everything else? They said, yep, but they're only picking from people that were on Live at Gotham. And at the time, Live at Gotham hadn't been picked up again at Comedy Central. And he goes, well, how's he supposed to get one if they don't have the show on?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the show got put back on, and he got me on the list, and I'm going to do an audition. I have to do 6.5 minutes.
And they're going to decide whether or not they want you on the show from that. And on the show, you only do about the same amount, right? You do 6 to 10 minutes or something?
I doubt you do 10.
Probably. Yeah, that's kind of long for a show, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And usually on Live at Gotham, they have, what, 4 guys?
You know, I don't watch
the
show.
It's probably a half hour to an hour show.
Yeah, it's a half hour show, I think.
So they may not even have 4. They may just have 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got with commercial breaks, it'll only probably be a 20-minute.
Right, 20, exactly.
22 minutes.
Uh-huh. So, and then you got the guy that's got to come up and, intro everybody.
The host, exactly.
Who's host that show? Do you know?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never really watched the show that much.
But yet you're trying to get on it.
Yes.
Well, don't you think you ought, don't you think you ought to try to get
on
the show?
Usually when Live at Gotham is on, I'm at work, and I don't carry a DVD recorder with me or anything, so I miss a lot of them.
Oh, okay.
And I don't go back and get them online because I didn't have a computer for a long time.
Yeah, that was my fault.
And at this point, I'm just making excuses. And hoping the Live at Gotham people don't listen and go, hey, he don't listen. He's out of here.
Well, I don't think they'll find us. If they do, that'd be nice. But I think you're safe is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're pretty safe.
But you know what? To be honest, I never watched Last Comic Standing either. I watched season 1 and part of season 2, and I didn't really pay attention after that.
Yeah, and now it's been
and I don't think they're doing it anymore.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if I think they wore that thing right into the ground.
If it does come back, it'll be maybe a year again.
Now, it's been almost a year since you did that whole thing now. It hasn't been a year since you've been on. Because you were doing your taping.
Actually, May 22nd when the show started last year. So it'll be,
But you did your tapings in April and May of last year, if I remember.
Yeah, I did it in March is when I did the Nashville show. March. I'm looking.
You don't have to be exact.
2nd.
Yeah.
3rd. 3rd.
Right.
March 3rd. I did that one, and then I was gone. And then I came back and did it on the week of the 24th is when I filmed it.
Right, of April.
Exactamundo.
Right, so it's been a year.
Yes. They did all the filming in March.
Right, and how have things progressed, you know, for you in the comedy career over that past year?
They gave me a new rake to clean the yards.
Uh-huh.
And I got my own trash bags now.
Right.
No, I got a manager.
Was that the big thing out of it, you think?
I think he was interested in me before the show even aired. I mean, he was already talking to me. In fact, when the show aired, I was working in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he was interested in talking to me then. And then he watched the show that night and said he thought it was really good. But he was already interested.
Uh-huh.
And but I'm making a little more money now. And I'm getting my clubs bumped up. This year, I'm almost booked all the way up. And it's March.
That's nice.
Yeah, I got like 2 weeks left, I think.
Uh-huh. So you think it's helped you demand-wise?
Definitely. A lot of people recognize me, which shocks me. I don't expect that at all. I mean, let's face it. I was on TV twice for 3 minutes. Well, the Nashville one, I did a 3-minute set, but they only aired a minute and a half on television.
Yeah.
You know, they put me in all the commercials. Maybe that's what helped.
Uh-huh.
And then with the Vegas thing, I did 3 minutes, and I was out. So, I don't know. It just shocks me that a year later, people still come up and go, I saw you on that show. You know, I just don't expect them to remember. I don't know. I just don't think. I think people have lives.
Well, but do you think that it's increased your credibility with clubs and that? I mean, as far as since you were on the show, do you think that's helping you get booked in other venues?
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt. Am I a huge draw? Are people breaking down the doors to come see me? No, I'm still kicking the door in. I'm still trying to get my foot in the door. But yeah. It has helped. Every little bit helps. It's all little stepping stones.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I definitely appreciate everything that, you know, come out of that.
Sure. So. No, that's a good thing. And also, you've auditioned for Montreal?
Yeah, I auditioned for Montreal Comedy Festival. Yeah.
We don't know how that went yet.
I have no idea.
But that's a big thing.
It's all a crapshoot.
Well, but even getting the audition is not easy.
No, I'd never gotten an audition. So maybe that led to that also. I had never.
Right.
Exactly.
And then also there's some talk about you going to Just for Laughs in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to get me in that one too.
Which I think is connected with Montreal.
Yeah, and Turner Network, TBS and TNT right. and all that. Yeah.
Well, they're advertising that on TV now. It's coming up.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they are. Well, you don't watch enough television.
No, I don't.
I think you need
to watch.
Isn't
that bizarre that I don't watch that much television, but my whole world is ingrained in cartoons and television?
Well, yeah. I mean, I tried to get you to watch a little Criminal Intent today, and you are not having any of it.
I don't like that stuff. I don't like the dead bodies and stuff like that.
Really?
That's not entertainment to me.
And what would you rather watch?
I really don't know what I would rather watch. Something's going to make me laugh.
You can laugh at dead bodies.
I am so much into going into my own world. When I go see a movie or when I watch TV, I just, all the reality goes out the window. I'm like, all right, you're a spaceman and you drive a bus and you pick up aliens. I'm with you. Let's go. And I just, whatever they sell me, I go with it.
Right. Well, yeah, actually, you were watching Legally Blonde 2 last night, which I thought was kind of unusual.
Well, you
for
said,
a man of your age.
You said that was your favorite movie.
What?
You said you liked those movies. Are you going to sit here now and do this and make me look like a hoo-ha? Really?
What?
Really?
I can't believe you would. Look, you know, I'm familiar with the movies.
By the way, you know they filmed that one scene at the Capitol in Springfield. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in.
Yeah,
I said like 5 times. I said, "Hey, you know this one scene we're in there in the Capitol? They filmed that in Springfield, Illinois." And I said it to him like 5 times, and he started to lose his mind after a while. And he's like, "I don't care. Quit telling me that." It was too funny.
I'm familiar with the movies. I think I've seen parts. I mean, last night was
really
the most I've ever seen.
You are a liar.
What?
You told me that even though there was nothing that manly about those movies at all, that was one of your two favorite movies was Legally Blonde 1 and 2. You really liked them.
My top two movies.
That's what you said.
Really?
You said, Dale, if I had my choice, I would walk away from Spartacus to watch Legally Blonde.
Well, that's true, because I never liked Spartacus.
There you go.
But, you know,
see?
That's got nothing. Spartacus is not my favorite movie.
Proof's in the pudding.
And like I said.
What is your favorite movie?
I don't have favorites. I'm one of these, like,
you ran
really
a video
weird.
Store and you don't have a favorite movie?
I have no favorite.
You were totally
movies.
Ingrained in the video business.
Yes.
You met Chuck Norris, the star of such great films.
Don't forget great
Top
series.
Dog.
Top Dog. I met him when he was promoting that film. Yeah, that's right. I lived the life, baby. Top Dog.
Top Dog, that's funny.
I
Okay.
No, anyway. I have no... I have no favorite.
You were so bragging on that, too. I mean, I would have loved
bragging?
To meet, I would love to meet Chuck Norris. And I'm a little jealous that you got to meet the man that fought Bruce Lee. But the way you described it, it was so funny. You know, you did such films as Top Dog. You know, I thought you would have picked, like...
I didn't say that. I said
I thought you
would have
picked, like, The Octagon. Or, you know, or what was the one where you...
Good Guys Wear Black.
Yes. Something like that.
That's when he was doing good movies.
Exactamundo.
His last movies were pretty awful.
Well, he's making a living.
Well, here's the thing. For you, those of you that are listening, we were talking about a video store owner's convention I went to, and that I happened to meet him there, and he was promoting the film Top Dog. I wasn't necessarily promoting the film for him. It's a point of reference for time.
I'm sorry.
When I met him.
I told you I'm not.
If I would have told you he was promoting Delta Force 2, that would have been a different year.
I did see Delta Force 1 in the movie theater.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like, boy, that's really interesting.
Missing in action. That was awesome.
Jeez.
So you don't have a favorite movie?
No. I actually don't. I don't have favorites, but it always drove my kids crazy. Because they would say, what's your favorite color? I don't have one. What's your favorite food? I don't have one of those. I don't have favorites. I am passionless. I have. Well, you know this about
me. You have a passion.
I don't have much. Not
this is a passion.
What?
This podcast.
I like this podcast, but you know, if it didn't happen tomorrow, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't miss this.
I'd miss it a little bit. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it. I love this thing. Everything. No, I can let go of things really easy.
Really?
Yeah.
You drive a Harley. If you can never, ever drive a Harley ever again and feel the wind and go on your long trips like you do, driving through the snow, I mean, because you're a hardcore biker.
Yeah, I am.
You wouldn't miss that.
No.
Really?
I just...
Doctor looks at you and says you're going to sit in a wheelchair and stare out that window the rest of your life, and you wouldn't miss riding a Harley.
Probably not. I'm really answering that honestly. I really don't think
I would.
I see. That's the thing.
That's interesting.
Well, and I think that if we relate it to comedy, which is really what this thing is about.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're really far away from this.
Well, no, that's all right. No, but I think you bring up a good point. I think that's why you're a good comedian, Dale. I think that's why you are as good as you are, because you have a lot of passion for what you do.
No, there's no plan B.
Well, but it makes no difference whether there's a plan B or not. It doesn't matter how you generated your passion for it. The fact is, you have a lot of passion for what you do, and you also have a lot of passion for the things you talk about, albeit they're not, you know, you're not discussing world peace or any of that stuff.
No.
But when you do what you do it with an incredible amount of passion, as opposed to when I perform or whatever it is I do, I'm not as passionate. I mean, I really have to up my game, so to speak, to show any kind of enthusiasm for what it is I'm doing at the time, even though I feel some. It's not that I don't feel any. It's not that I don't care. It's just that I don't show it very well.
Oh.
And you show it very well. You get on stage and you
just... I
don't
know how else to do it.
Well, but that's fine.
Truth. I honestly, I have no idea. And I can't say there's not times I don't go on stage and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. But eventually, I kick into that mode, and I just want to.
Right,
that's my escape. That's what this whole comedy thing is for me. I'm sure it is for a lot of comedians.
Some
want to make a point, and they want to change people and stuff like that. And I'm not that. I'm going there to escape, and I hope everybody else wants to too. And that's it for me.
Well,
everything in my whole world can be falling apart, and they say you're going on a road, and I'm like, thank God. I'll just go out and it's just my little world.
Well, I agree with that. And honestly, comedy is probably, or performing on stage is probably the one thing they would truly miss. I mean, of all the things that I have or all the things that I do,
yeah,
that would probably be it. And honestly, that would probably be the only thing. Beyond special people in my life. I mean, let's exclude, you know, the people that you love. Because that's a whole other issue as far as I'm concerned.
Right, exactly.
Okay. But as far as doing things that can be changed or, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, so what? That's kind of my, I just have this really dispassionate view of things. I mean, I don't care if I'm the kind of guy that I'll eat the same thing every day for 2 weeks. It won't bother me a bit.
Most I did that in the Bahamas.
And you hated it.
Oh, my God. I had to survive on salami sandwiches.
Yeah, wouldn't bother me at all. Well, in fact, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break real quick here, the first one. And then when we come back, we'll talk about how glamorous the Bahamas really is for a comic. So, folks, nice. Hang on. We'll be right back. Do you have something special coming up for your company or your organization, like maybe a big fundraiser? Have you thought about renting Wits End Comedy Club? We can provide comedians for the event, help your organization have a great party or a great fundraising event. Very easy to do. You want more information, go to the website, www.witsendcomedyclub.com. Click on the More button, and then you'll see a Rent the Club item. Click on that. We seat up to 230 people, have a great staff. And don't forget, it's the new room. So it's actually one of the finest clubs in the country, certainly the finest club in Denver. If you don't want to go to the website, do it the old-fashioned way. Just pick up the phone and call 303-430-4242. All right, folks, here we are back again with Dale Jones, A Big Tattletale.
That was the quickest commercial ever.
No, it wasn't. It was a full minute.
Don't stare at me. I'm going to lose another contest.
You can't right. win that with me anyway.
I know. This has got to be different for you, because how many of these have you done? You've only done these with me, to where I'm actually sitting
right
next to you.
Well, no, I did one other one with Ron Morey.
Okay.
Yeah, Ron and I did one.
Because most time you're on the horn and you're talking.
And
you can be off in your own world and
well,
I don't pay
attention.
Whatever you do when you're in your little hubble.
I don't pay attention to what you guys are saying. I'm just writing down stuff and doing other things. And I just kind of pick up the conversation at the end. You know,
you're one of those.
To me, it sounds like blah, 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 blah.
You're one of those DJs where you go,
and I think that. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I fake laugh, too.
Okay.
Don't forget the fake laughter.
Wow, you're good at that.
See there?
That was really good.
I could be an actor. All right, so now here's the thing.
Passionate laugh.
This is kind of a cool little inside thing.
Because
for those of you that let me describe this from the outside view to the people that are listening. Okay.
Okay.
As a comic, we can get a deal, a gig, a performance venue that's in the Bahamas. We go down there for 2 weeks. We get.
And it's at Atlantis.
It's at Atlantis.
Premier resort.
Premier resort. You get a hotel room. All you got to do is work one show a night, right, pretty much?
Maybe 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. Rest of the time's your own, and you're in the island paradise. And you go for 2 weeks. Not just one, 2 weeks. Sounds great, doesn't it? Okay, so here's the reality. The reality is, as gigs go, extremely low pay, right?
Yes, I will make in 2 weeks.
You don't have to tell me. Yeah.
Well, exactly. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, I would still make, let me figure. Yeah, I don't make in 1 week. I make more in 1 week on a regular gig than I do in 2 weeks down there.
Right. And it's everything's so expensive.
Yes, you can't go to a buffet without it being $100.
Yeah.
50 maybe if you get lucky.
Right.
That's one meal.
Right.
Yeah, and they give you a 30% discount at the bar.
Right.
Downstairs, which is, yeah, then you got to deal with all the.
So it's almost impossible.
I have to walk to a grocery store.
Right.
Which is, and everything's imported because it's on an island. One box of cereal is $8.50.
Uh-huh.
The milk I get has been in a truck, so it's, even though it says it's not outdated, it tastes tainted. Yeah. And you get the Oscar Mayer bologna, and you hope it's been refrigerated. and then ramen noodles, which here in the States are what, quarter, 50 cents?
They're pretty inexpensive.
$4.
$4 for a package of ramen noodles?
$4, something like that. Yeah.
Really?
And then you got to get bottles of water and carry all that. And by the way, if you want a beer in the Bahamas, it's $7.
Wow.
$6.50 for their domestic. An import would be like a Miller, Budweiser, whatever.
Those are imports?
Of course they're imports. You're in a different country on an island.
So yeah.
Budweiser's an import there. So that's $7, one bottle of beer.
Wow.
That's strip club prices.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's insane. And, you do that for 2 weeks. So you're in your room and of course they've got, you know, jet ski in and all that stuff. Jet ski is $75 for 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of stuff you can do. You can go swim with the dolphins if you've got, you know, $400. But if you're trying to make a living, you know, if you just want to go down there and blow money, do it to it.
Yeah.
You know, take your girlfriend, take your wife, and boom. The first year I went down there, I took my wife at the time, and I ended up owing the credit card company more than I got paid and made absolutely nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
And you spent all your pay.
Oh, I spent all the pay and ended up owing another $1,400. It was ridiculous.
Right.
And, but yeah, you can't afford. It's like camping out with rich people. This is basically what it is. You're a poor person, and everybody around you is millionaires, and you're watching them do everything and live in paradise, and you're sitting there with a bowl of cereal trying to figure out how you're going to get another meal when it not be a bologna sandwich. And everybody's like, oh, this is so great. And you're going, I've been here 4 days, and I'm about ready to lose my freaking mind.
And they stand in line for this gig. A lot of comics,
of course,
right?
I do. Yes. And if you want internet, it's $16 a day in your room.
Right.
For internet.
And then let's not forget there's no phone.
No, there's service. No phone. Cell phones will be out, you know. So if you're trying to, you're still trying to run a business. So basically you're taking yourself out of your business for 2 weeks.
Right.
And comics, I don't know, people listen don't know this, but when you're a comedian, you're on the phone every day. You're on the internet every day. You're constantly trying to promote yourself. You're trying to write. You're trying to get a hold of bookers. You're trying to next step. You take that away for 2 weeks, you're pretty much quitting your job.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks.
So, in other words, if you go down there, you can't Twitter or anything.
You can't Twitter. You can Twitter, but you're doing it by yourself.
Oh, I see.
You're doing it alone.
And so, okay. So the big payoff must be the great shows you have.
The problem
every
with
night.
The shows is that the show starts about 9:30. At 9:30.
Yeah.
And these people have been up since 6 in the morning. They've been eating. They've been out in the sun all day. They've been on the beach. They've watched Junior going up and down a water slide 50 times. They've had a whole bunch of meals. They've been drinking Bahama Mamas all day long. Then they finally come, and you get them at the end of the day. They sit in a chair. Air conditioning hits them. They pretty much pass out.
So the shows aren't good either.
It's like pulling teeth. It's a string of one-nighters is exactly what it is. They're all looking at you, and they've paid $20 a person to get in there, and they're drunk out of their mind, so they're either screaming at you or they will fall asleep. There's no middle. And it's also different countries. It's all different countries. So some nights you may be up there, and you do a whole show to complete silence, and you come off stage, and the owner goes, by the way, they were all Japanese. None of them spoke English. It's the truth.
Really?
Yeah.
And they just go to listen to... Well, you at least you're bouncing around making funny faces and...
Oh, yeah. They
all that stuff.
Clearly think I'm insane.
So they think, yes.
Yeah. I ended up losing my mind when I'm on stage there. I'll tell somebody I'll blow somebody for a Subway sandwich. I just lose my friggin' mind after a while.
Wow.
You get a little stir crazy. You can't do laundry.
No laundry?
You have to take a cab to do laundry. Cab's probably $15 one way.
Uh-huh.
To do laundry, because they don't have laundry facilities on the they don't have washing machines, because they cater to the tourist.
So they have.
So if you want laundry done, it was for one shirt, just a T-shirt, for them to wash it was $7.50.
Oh, $7.50.
Yeah, so I'm washing my socks in the tub.
Jeez.
Yeah, or I try to catch a cab and go do the thing, and you know, uh-huh. The only part I really, really like.
Well, wait a minute, hold on.
Go ahead.
Because, okay, so all right, so the, you know, then the hotel must treat you great.
The hotel?
Yeah, they must treat you really well, right? I mean, its shells aren't good and food's expensive and all that. The hotel must be real fair with you. I mean, you go there, it's part of the all the lodgings included. They pick up everything.
No.
No? They.
You pay for your own flight there.
Right, I understand that.
Which is, I've never paid less than $400.
Yeah.
So, you pay for your flight there, and then you have to pay for your own cab ride to get to the hotel, because they will pick you up. And cab rides, 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So that's $35 one way.
Yeah.
You get there, and they put you in. If you don't request a certain room, they'll stick you wherever. I got stuck in the hallway one year where all the people walked by constantly.
Uh-huh.
And you also have to pay $8 a day for the wait staff to, or the housekeeping to clean your room.
Why don't you not clean your room?
It doesn't matter.
They charge you anyway.
They charge you anyway.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
If you put up do not disturb, it does not matter. They take their, it's eight or six.
Uh-huh.
$8 or $6 a day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. And they're meticulous about the charges.
Oh, make yeah, sure definitely. Everything's... They add that. I'm seeing what you're getting at. They add stuff on. You have to check your bill constantly because they will add things onto your bill. I went down and they added, there was a mini bar there. And I got to my room and the mini bar was cleaned out. The dude before me cleaned it all out. Well, they hadn't come and filled it up before I come checked in. So they came in the door and stuck 30 some odd dollars worth of charges on my bill for a mini bar I hadn't even touched. And I asked them to clean the mini bar out and just take it all out. And I didn't want to deal with it. They won't do that.
Ah.
No, they want to come by every day and try to add charges onto you. And then they also added movies on to my bill that I didn't watch. And that was $45 in movie charges.
$45?
Three movies.
Really?
Yeah.
That you didn't watch?
I didn't watch any of them.
Right.
Didn't even flick through the menu to see what they had. Didn't even touch that portion of the remote.
Right.
And I went down to check my bill, and they had $45 in charges there and $30 on the other one.
So you have to actually check your bill almost every day just to make sure that you're on top of what they're doing.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's and then they'll roll their eyes at you. You know, I went down there, and I said, I didn't pay for this. And hold on. And then they walk in the back, and yeah. Then they come back, all right, we took him. He disputed it. I was like, well, they make you feel like you're a jerk.
Well, they really treat you well. That sounds, that's great, yeah. Especially since you're down there working in their resort.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so you said that there was something good about it?
My favorite part is in the morning. I wake up in the morning, and I had a little villa that I picked out, which is basically four hotel rooms in one building, and it's near the beach. And I had a view of the ocean, and I could go out in the morning, and I could make my own coffee. I had a coffee pot, so I could make my own coffee and eat my cereal that I trudged over to the grocery store to get, and have a banana or something, and it was really quiet, and I could read a book. That's my favorite part.
Okay. Let's be factual. Your morning is somewhere around 11:30.
Well, if we don't get right down to it.
Yeah.
When I'm there,
yeah.
My morning's around 2.
Okay. So, just for the record.
Because usually... Because
your morning here hasn't been before noon unless there had unless the word radio.
Well, if
was
I have to
used.
Do radio, I have to get up. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. That's part of my job.
Right.
But yeah, if I don't have to get up, no, I'm up at 1.
I know you are.
But I stay up till like 2 or 3.
Yeah, because you get up the other day and you're looking for me because I've already been up since like 8:30 walking around doing stuff.
Well, see, you have, you know, a life.
Well, I don't have much of one, but yes, I do have to maintain it.
You have things to do. Cool thing about the Bahamas is you get 2 free beers when you work a night.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to buy alcohol. I mean, I'm not a big drinker. So
no.
I would just take my two beers, and then I go sit on the beach, and the beach would be empty by the time I get off work.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's on the beach unless it's college week or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But most time the beach is empty, so I can sit there and watch the ocean all night long and drink 2 beers and look at the water. That's kind of cool.
Are you ever going back again?
No.
That was pretty fast answer.
No,
so
I've been there 5.
Giving this some thought.
I've been there 4 or 5 years in a row.
Uh-huh.
I'm done.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Time to go on. I am fed up. And I asked for a raise and they said no.
Yeah, so because you're on vacation.
Supposedly.
That's their thinking, right?
Oh, yeah. They always do that. That's the crap they used to pull in Florida, too.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
The Florida weekender clubs who go, oh, well, we only pay you such and such, which was half the money you get up north for headlining, you know. I'm not going to say prices, but, you know, they pay you half of what you'd make up north. And they go, well, it's Florida. You're here on vacation. I'm like, no, I own a house here. This is not vacation.
Yeah. I live in Florida.
I have a house note in Florida. That's not vacation anymore.
Huh. So Do you think that's ever going to change?
What's going to change?
The Florida thing? No. Do you think they'll ever get to the point where they'll pay more money, blah, 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 blah?
Now, the A rooms pay exactly what everybody else pays.
Really?
The week-long A rooms, improvs, McCurdy, side splitters.
Uh-huh.
All those.
They're all normal.
Yeah, even the zone in Jacksonville, Tallahassee.
But extremely hard to get into.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So
they're bringing in TV guys every week, and you gotta really throw your everything you got into it.
TV guys.
Well, you know, and that's not saying they're better than us. That's just the clubs are into the notoriety. If they can stick somebody on a flyer that everybody goes, oh, my God, I saw him yesterday, then they're going to flock there, and it's all about putting butts in the seats.
Well, I totally agree with that, and I think everybody knows, you know, that's kind of the difference between us and the other clubs in Denver is that we don't have big-name guys come in. I mean, honestly, you're the person right now at our club that has the closest brushes with fame beyond Kevin Fitzgerald, who's on, you know, Animal Planet and does that kind of stuff regularly.
I would say Larry Reeves pretty much up there.
No, Larry Reeves not. And he hasn't been in. He hasn't been in yet.
No, he's going to kill.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Let's talk about that. Bob and Tom. How many of you have heard of Bob and Tom? And I'm asking you out there in the Denver listening audience, nobody.
Really?
They're not in Denver.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know.
But they are on WGN, which is now
not in Denver.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think it's on the cable, but I may be wrong.
WGN goes America-wide.
Not in every market. I don't have
WGN. I was getting it in the Bahamas.
I don't have WGN on my...
I was getting it on the cable in the Bahamas.
I don't have WGN on my cable system.
Really? The Chicago station for the Cub games?
I'm from Chicago. I'm very familiar with what WGN is.
Wow, man, you turn on a dime, brother. Dadgum. Man, that's because we're friends. Go ahead.
I think we're going to have to go to a break here, folks. Are we? No.
I'm going to get thumped again.
Well.
No more.
It's not that you don't deserve it.
No more swirlies.
All right. So anyway, no. I mean, we don't. Actually, you're probably a big. You and Kevin Fitzgerald. Probably the guys that.
What about Jackie Cation?
Jackie's a great comic.
Jackie's had more TV than I have.
But not recent TV. She was on the same time. Yep, she was on the same
And she was also on the season before that, I believe.
I don't know. But
she's been on Last Comic twice.
Yeah, I know.
Made it to the semifinals twice, I believe. And she's also had a Presents.
Yeah, I know, but her Presents was a long time ago. And yeah. I'm not taking it. Look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Jackie.
No. I'm not saying
very
you are.
Funny.
What
really
I was,
enjoy.
What I was trying to say
you know anything
is,
about her?
She's had more television time than I have.
Not much. I mean, yes, but not recently. Not much. You're right there with her, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And we've always based the club has always based the model of what we put on stage by the quality of the comedian that works. You know, not. Based on what their name recognition is. Because you and I both know that a guy can have great name recognition and be an awful comic.
Definitely.
You know, I'm not going to pick anybody out because that's not fair. You know, but it's true. Being on TV does not make you funny. It just makes you well known.
It means you just know somebody. It's all who you know.
And most of the time when you see this stuff on TV, they're either heavily edited.
Yes.
Like the Comedy Central Presents, even when you do yours, they're not going to do it in one take. They're going to have you do one or two shows. They're going to have you do two shows. A lot of times they do two shows, and they take the best out of both shows and combine them in such a way that you can't tell the difference.
That's very true.
Okay?
And they'll have you do, they got to cut it down to 20-some-odd minutes.
Right.
So they have you do two 45-minute shows.
Right.
Not different, but just get the best response.
Exactly. And the other thing is that in 20 minutes, you know, most guys, you can do a lot better in 20 minutes than you can do in 45 to an hour.
Of course.
A 45-minute to an hour show is a whole nother ball game. And a lot of these guys, they got Comedy Central Presents, or they've been on, you know, no offense to what you're doing live at Gotham and all that kind of stuff, but that means they had a good 6 minutes.
Exactly.
That's all it means. It doesn't mean that they can really go and pull out all the stops and do a good 45-minute show. It means that they can do a good 6 minutes. and you bring them into town. A classic example, and I'm not even saying anything bad about her because I think she's a fabulous person, Victoria Jackson. Victoria Jackson came back out onto the comedy circuit, and I don't know if she still is there anymore, back in the early 90s.
I think she's doing churches and stuff now.
She may be, and that's a really good place for her to work. But when she came out, I was there. I worked with her and Kelly Moran, who has now passed away.
Right.
And Rick Gutierrez was featuring. I was still the opener way back when. And she came out, and she came out because she was working at a Funny Bone. And she was booked there, a big special event, sold out the club and everything. She didn't have 20 minutes worth of material. The three of us were writing material for her all weekend. She didn't even know the basics of stand-up comedy in the sense that you're supposed to take the microphone stand and move it away from you if you take the mic off of it. She would take the microphone off the stand, and she would just leave it in the middle of the thing and walk around with it. And
so all she had was the improv background that went with Saturday Night Live.
Well, she didn't even – if you really look at it, and people have talked about this before, her stuff on Saturday Night Live was minimal.
Well, she had bit parts. Yeah.
Huh? She was a filler. She never did anything. She was never the main player of anything. She always did something extra. And again, I'm really trying not to say anything bad about Victoria because she's a sweetheart, you know, of a person. But the truth is she came in totally unprepared, you know, had no idea what she was up against. And really, if it wasn't for her kindness and, you know, her likability, most guys would just let her go. You know, if she came in being a real pain in the ass, you know as well as I do. The other comics in the group would go, gee, that's a shame. You don't have more than 20 minutes. Tough luck.
Exactly. And then they would burn her to the ground.
That's exactly right. They'd let her go out there and hang herself. But, you know, we all liked her, and as is probably everybody that's ever run into her. And, you know, we did what we could. And I'm not saying she hasn't done everything on her own and all that other stuff and that, you know, what she's got today she didn't earn. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying at that one point in time that she was stood up against something I don't think that she was totally prepared for.
Okay.
And obviously, over the long haul, she became prepared for it.
Right.
And I couldn't be happier for her. So I'm not saying anything bad.
What's your point, Bill?
My point is that just because you're on TV, you ain't funny.
That's very true. I agree with that.
Just because you're on TV, you're not a good stand-up. Just because you're on TV, you don't necessarily know how to handle a crowd. Just because you're on TV just means you were on TV. And the reason she got on Saturday Night Live, in all fairness to her, and she, I think she even told me this, is that, what's his name, loved her? Johnny Carson.
Lauren Michaels?
No, Johnny Carson loved her.
Oh, okay.
Thought she was just funnier than crap because she'd stand on her hands and do the palms and play the little, yeah, all that crap. He thought that was hysterical. So he had her on like 6 or 7 times, and that's what got her the gig at Saturday Night Live.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, good for her. And congratulations to her. And I understand her life has, you know, really, really gotten great. So, but just because you know the name on the marquee does not guarantee anything. It can. I mean, if you go to see Joe Rogan, you're going to see a great show. You know, you go see Rodney Carrington, you're going to see a great show. You know, there's a lot of guys you're going to see a great show, and they're named kind of people.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. You are a great comic, and not many people have heard of you as a percentage of the population.
Exactly.
It's low, but that doesn't take anything away from your ability. But even in that thing, along those lines, you are still one of our most well-known comics. That's what I'm saying.
I've been working there for probably 12 years.
Yeah, I know. So let's take a break. We'll talk about the fact that you've worked there 12 years or whatever else it is we decide.
All right.
Right after these messages. Jeez, what am I on the radio?
I don't know. Let's do an steering contest.
On this message.
Dang it, I lost again.
Be right back.
Do you have a frequent funny card? Do you know what a frequent funny card even is? It's not a secret. It's a card that gives you special privileges at Wits End Comedy Club. That card gets you and three of your friends in for free as many times as you want. In addition to that, any money that you spend, you get back 10%. And you can use that money in the club later on for whatever it is you want. Drinks, food, merchandise. And how much does it cost, you're wondering? It's just $60 a year. $60. That's what you and three of your friends are going to spend to get into the club anyway. So why not get the card that pays you back? Just go to www.witsendcomedyclub.com. Click on the Buy Stuff menu item and then click on Frequent Funny. Get a card. Start having some fun today. If you want, you can also buy it by phone. 303-430-4242. All right, back again with Dale. I can't keep my eyes open, Jones. God, you're the worst.
It's the Basset Hound in me.
Well, you've been working for us for a long time. I think you've been working for us for like 12 years or so.
I think I started there in 95.
Yeah, and we're also the first place that ever headlined you, you said.
That's true. John Cooney ran the place at the time.
Yeah.
And I had, let's see, it was around 95. Yeah, and I went there and did a McKelvey's Club was still open across the town.
Right.
And I was hanging with another comedian there. And I did a guest set there, and then they made a phone call, and I hot-rodded across town and did a guest set for Cooney.
Right.
And Cooney hired me as a feature act.
Right.
And then I featured there probably twice a year for 3 years or so.
Yeah.
Three or four years. 4 years. Had it been 4 years. Because by 99, he was pushing the headline. 90,
sure.
98, 99, something. I can't remember. It all goes together. And I was nervous. Because he said, next time I want you to headline. And I go, I don't think I can do that. He goes, you got a year to write 15 minutes. Crying out loud. Can't do that. What's wrong with you?
Is that right?
Yeah.
So he booked you for your next date.
Headline.
As you left.
Yes.
So you knew when
you had
to do it.
I knew I had 1 year to get 15 more minutes and kick butt.
And so you took that seriously?
Of course I did.
And how long did it take you to get your 15 minutes? Did you need the entire year, or were you ready?
No, I was already ready. I was already ready. It wasn't as polished as it is now, obviously. But, I started working immediately. Just, you know, trying to cut stuff out of my other 30-minute act and add the other in and do what I could.
Yeah. And... is there any place you still don't headline for?
No, I headline.
Well, I was just curious because, you know, sometimes
everywhere.
That happens.
If I get in with the improvs, which I'm working on now, I'll have to go in as a feature.
Are you going to do the split week thing?
More than likely.
For those of you that don't know what a split week is, which is probably almost all of you, split week is when you come in on the Big Star Week. And you headline the off nights, the Wednesday, Thursday.
And Sunday, yeah.
And Sunday, yeah. And then the Friday, Saturday, the guy comes in that's got the big name, and you end up featuring for those shows.
Right.
Which is actually not a bad gig.
No, it's not.
I mean, the money's usually pretty good, and, you know, it's a kind of a low-stress thing.
You put your ego in check, and you know you're getting your foot in the door, and uh-huh. You do the best job you can, and... that's all you do. And you hope that the guy, that the big name that comes in likes you, and that can help you also. Because he can call one of his dudes in L.A. and go, hey, I see this kid.
And what is your strategy when you do those? You know, a lot of guys, you know, they worry about whether or not they're going to make the guy look bad that's they're working in front of.
When I'm on stage, it's my show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not dropping my pants and singing the Star Spangled Banner and shooting rockets out my ass or nothing like that. I mean, I do my act. I don't.
Sounds like a great show.
It does sound like a great show, doesn't it? but I do the best job I can do. I don't back down, you know.
Yeah.
I don't expect anybody to do that in front of me.
Yeah.
So I give it my heart like I would any other night and.
What if they walked up to you and said, Dale, you got to tone it down a little? Then what do you do? And they ask you nicely. They don't walk up to you, hey, you know, you're making the headliner look bad. They walk up to you and go, hey, dude, you know, you're just killing this guy. Can you just help us out a little so he doesn't look so bad? What do you do then?
I don't
doing.
See, there's some guys that would say, okay, sure, I'll bump it down a little bit. I know guys that will do that, and they're very smart for doing that because they're thinking it's for the show and doing the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can. I don't know. I don't know.
Really? You've never had anybody ask you to
do that? I have, and I wouldn't do it. But it wasn't a big name.
Oh.
That was in the late 90s. I had a guy try to sit me down and say, you know, for the whole thing of the show, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and this is just the way it works. And
was this the headliner, or was this the owner?
It was the headliner, and I liked the headliner. I mean, we weren't friends. It was the first week I was working with him. But I told him flat out, I go, I think when you're on that stage, you owe it to the audience to give them everything you've got.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, if I was a headliner and I couldn't follow the feature, I shouldn't be headlining.
Well, I agree.
And I wasn't trying to be cocky about it, but I don't. These people pay money to see a ticket. Can you imagine if it? You know, go see a movie, and then they people pay daggum good money to see a movie, and then they go, oh, well, we could have done these special effects, but we're going to bump it down a little bit because there's a movie coming on after us that's a lot better, and we don't want to mess that up. Come on. Come on.
Well, I agree, but people don't realize this stuff happens on a regular basis in the comedy world.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Have you ever got sat, period, for killing some guy that was
what do you mean, behind sat, you? Period?
In other words...
They say you're fired.
They just said, well, they didn't say you're fired. They just said, look, we're going to have somebody else come in and do the next show.
No.
Because that happens.
I'm sure it does.
They come out and they go, okay, here's the rest of your week's pay. Thanks for coming out. And they bring some guy in that you know, can't bring it.
Yeah. No, I've never had that happen. I've never been fired or told.
That's not firing.
Well, you know what I mean. I've never been, this week isn't working out. I have had to where I was supposed to do a split week.
Yeah.
And the guy brought in his own feature, and it had nothing to do with me. The guy didn't even know me. He hadn't seen my act. It's not like he was scared of me or anything like that. The man had no idea who I was. He just brought in his own feature and didn't tell the club. And I was supposed to – I headlined Wednesday and Thursday and Sunday. And on Friday and Saturday, he brought in his own feature and said, we don't need this gentleman. I didn't even know you had one. I got my own guy. And I sat in the hotel room all weekend.
That's a huge that must have been a pretty huge name then. To do that.
No, not really.
Well, who was it? You can say.
It was Ricky Smiley.
I don't even know him.
He was the host of BET, not Def Comedy, Comic View for a while.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, this was 2001, 2002, and I was in Dayton, Ohio, at the, it was Joker's at the time.
Yeah.
And I come in and did the split week, and the lady that ran at the manager, she just called me up and said, we didn't know he had a guy, and we apologized, but you were getting your full pay.
Right.
And enjoy your weekend.
Right. Well, the club did the right thing.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. They left me in the hotel. They paid me my full pay, and I just worked Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
Right.
He was boring as hell on Friday and Saturday night sitting around because I didn't even go to the club. You know?
Right.
But
not your kind of comedy?
It was sold out, and
you just figured you'd be in the way.
Yeah,
sure.
And I didn't want any tension, you know. And it was my first week there.
Was it?
Yeah. And so I was like, I'll disappear, come back Sunday, and do a good job.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm no drama. You know that.
Yeah,
I'm very low maintenance.
Yeah, you are. There's no big deals going on.
All I want to do is, you know, have a mic stand and a mic and lights pointed at me and speakers, and I'm good.
Yeah, that's why we're doing your show in the dark. With a megaphone.
I did a flashlight show at Wits one time. Did I ever tell you about that?
No, you didn't.
The power went out, and I had the wait staff stand in the back and hold flashlights on me.
Really?
Yeah, and it was funny because then you could tell when somebody needed a drink because one of the flashlights would disappear, and then they'd go get a drink, and they'd come back.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Huh. Well, that's something that I've never had the experience of doing.
You've never done a flashlight show?
No, I just haven't.
Wow. My ex one time was doing a show, and the speakers went out.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get the speakers to come back on, and the whole microphone system went, and she goes, how in the hell can this get worse? And all of a sudden, boom, the lights went out and his pitch back. I witnessed that one. That was funny.
I bet it was.
Oh, it was hilarious. And then I realized I was next.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. That's...
But, yeah.
But you didn't do the show? They just canceled it?
Yeah, they stopped it.
Sure.
But yeah, that stuff happens all the time. I've had it to where the lights kick off and don't come back on, and the mic goes out.
I must not be working enough. I'm trying to remedy that, so...
I've literally just hit hell with it and put the mic to the side and scream my whole way.
Well, I've done that at a place because I got a big mouth anyway. I don't really... You know, half the time I get away without a mic.
Yeah.
Even with a crowd up to a couple hundred people. So I just got to slow down, wait for the laughter to go down enough to where you can say the next joke.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You know, you have to change your timing.
Yeah, as a rule, we do it, you know, we start telling the next joke as the laughter starts falling.
Right.
You know, you don't wait all the way till it gets quiet. So that's the big change. All right. Well, listen, we've done our time.
That's the hour?
That's it. It goes fast, doesn't it?
It does. I did a Tom Sawyer show one time.
What?
Where it was raining and the roof was leaking and the water started coming down all in front of the stage.
Were you wearing a straw hat?
It looked like I was behind a waterfall.
Did you use the N-word?
No, I did not.
Because that'd be a Tom Sawyer show, in my mind.
Tom Sawyer never used the N-word.
I thought Mark Twain used it in the books.
Did he?
What was that guy's name?
Mark Twain?
No. One of the characters?
Huck Finn.
No. The guy in the boat?
Kunta Kinte.
You're getting warmer. All right, so.
But they put glasses on the table in front of me. It was catching all the water. And I said, hey, welcome to Huck Finn's cave. Let me show you around.
Now that we know that Dale Jones reads, you don't know about the N-word. And
my family would have beat the hell out of me.
You're out
of
your mind. Well, I don't use that word myself.
I'm not even allowed to say.
It's in the damn book.
I'm not even allowed to say neither or nor.
Listen, I've heard your act. You say a lot of words.
I don't say any of those.
Well, no. You swear a lot. He's very dirty. Folks.
I do not swear a lot.
Oh, man. You're not going to believe it when
I only
come to
say
show.
Fuck like twice.
Oh, God. Twice a minute.
That's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm not that good of a wordsmith. That's why I cross my
That's
eyes.
That's why he uses those small words that are bad.
The small words that are bad,
yeah,
like crabs.
With F.
Like filibuster.
I would never swear.
You swear all the time.
Do I?
You and your little ball slapper bit.
Oh, let's not talk about this. This is not a show about me. This is a show about you. And folks, you can come see Dale. You can't see him on May the 6th. That's going to be one of my favorite guys in the comedy world. Steve Gastineau is
nice.
Going to come in and do the...
I met Steve years ago.
Oh, Steve's a great guy. Very funny comics. Going to be a great show. And just so you know, for those of you listening, I am the feature act all week. So I'm going to be working with Dale. And usually we don't tell you who the feature act is, but I figure since you guys listen to me every week, I might as well tell you.
Self-promoter.
That's exactly right. So you can see Dale from Thursday the 7th. Well, Steve is an 8 o'clock show on May the 6th, if you want to see that one. And see, you go to two shows in a week. Go to the Wednesday show, and then you go to the other shows.
Double your pleasure.
That's right. Two shows in 1 week. Just the second show, you can come late, so you don't have to see me twice. So anyway, May 7th.
You don't do a totally different act?
I could, I suppose.
Could you?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Wow, that's impressive.
Why wouldn't I? You could.
I don't think
you could do 2 half-hour shows if you formatted your material out.
Yeah, I did. I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Do you mind if I wrap up the show? Can
that's
I kind of get
thing.
Get along with it?
I guess I
it?
Should quit talking into this little
no,
thing.
No, don't worry.
Face.
You can talk into all you want. I'm going to turn it off
You're
momentarily.
Turn it off, and I'll just sit here alone? Uh-huh.
Yeah, sit there alone talking.
And keep talking.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a stare contest with myself in the mirror.
You'll lose. That's May 7th. That's a Thursday through the 9th, which is a Saturday. Thursday show's 8 o'clock. That's military ID, college ID night. If you got one of those things, show up. You get in for free. Fridays, 8 and 10:30. Saturdays, 5:30, 8 o'clock, and 10:30. You can make your reservations on the web at www.witsendcomedyclub.com. I want to remind you guys, you can also get Wits End Comedy Club information on your web-enabled phone. Just go to M, that's as in mobile, m.witsendcomedyclub.com. You can see the schedule. If you're on the way to the club and you're not sure how to get there, you can get directions. They give you directions from the north, south, east, and west. So it's really easy to find us, or you can always call us on the phone, 303-430-4242. I'm sure I mentioned it. Reservations on the web, www.witsendcomedyclub.com. Thanks very much for listening to the show. Also, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't already done so. If you go to the main page, you just click on the button that says subscribe on iTunes. It takes care of everything else. And then you know what? Podcast shows up no matter what. Also, we have a mailing list, and we don't spam the list, but you do get a notification as soon as the podcasts are posted or any other pertinent information to the show. So thanks for listening, folks. Remember, do what I tell you and watch your comedy live. That's the way you're supposed to view it. If you can't make it to Wits End, go to a comedy club near you. Thanks for listening.